Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Peace and blessings, sisters and brothers, because I know some brothers out there that listen to us. This is the Black Wooniverse, and this is your host, Goddess Tara, also known as Seek Wisdom. Thank you for coming out today to listen to the show. I appreciate everyone who listens, whether it be live and in archive. Wow, we have a great, great show for you today. A sister Laia Aneb Nua. And she is going to speak about vulva astrology. That sounds very sexy, doesn't it? Vulva astrology. All right. Before we get to our lovely guest today, I just want to say thank you and greetings to everyone in the chat room. I see a plethora of guests in the chat room. If you could just sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account so you can come on into the chat room and chat with us. Greetings, Mother Wheel, and love knowing thyself. And, of course, Shakti Fire in the chat room is Sister Laia Aneb Nua. Just want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, which is DivineChemistry.com, MochaMango.com, which is Mocha-Mango.com, and Ifama.com. And so those are our three sponsors for the Black Wooniverse show. I am going to go ahead and get to my guest. All right. Hetepu, Sister Laila, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. This is something I'm glad to do, happy to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm definitely happy to have you on the show with everything you're going to bring to us and enlighten us with today, sister. I guess we can start off with, could you let us know who La'ea Anabnuwa is, and how did you get in the path that you're on right now?
Okay. Well, I started out, I guess, in the late 80s, or the mid-80s, actually. I'll go back to college because I took a transcendental meditation course in college. And from there, I was led into doing tarot, and I had a strong interest in astrology. I didn't pursue really learning it, you know, on the professional level until the 80s. But it was just part of my natural path. It was started out as many people, you know, just looking for answers. I never was the answers in traditional religions. I never got it, and I kept getting told that you'll understand as you get older. Well, for me, the only thing I understood for myself as I got older was that wasn't my path. And like I said, I started doing I Ching and tarot and that type of thing in college. I was a psychology major for a while. And from there, just was on my own path meditating, and I was also dancing, doing modern dance at the time, and it was suggested a lot of the dancers took yoga also. So even though I went into the yoga path for, you know, become more limber, it ended up being the path that led me directly into the goddess. And so that's, you know, it's just your life goes on and you continue to grow. You continue to ask questions, and that's, you know, they're revealed through the way usually, you know, we're sometimes looking for things just to hit us as a bolt of lightning. But what I have found in cases more than not is that you'll be guided to different people, to different experiences, books, you know, just your life experience will unfold as you grow. And so, again, I really stuck with the yoga and meditation. And what I just really noticed was that there was, even though in the yoga tradition there's talk of the goddess, I really didn't see that much or feel that her presence that much. And there was a reason for that because, you know, most yoga as it's practiced in the States came from it, and this is nothing against the Hindu tradition, but it comes from a very masculine perspective for the most part. It's the hatha yoga. Hatha is the physical aspect that really is only one part of yoga, and it's the part, you know, to keep you limber so you can sit in meditation for hours. A lot of, you know, and so that became like a cottage industry in this culture. But if you go to India and, you know, in other places where it's practiced, there's all kinds of aspects, including devotion to the Divine Mother, and that is where she talked to me through my heart and my spirit and my womb. I didn't know that that's what was happening at the time, but I kept being led to go deeper, 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 because there's so much more. And I eventually found Tantra yoga and Kundalini yoga, and that's when things really started getting interesting for me. I got initiated in a Kundalini Tantra tradition directly from India. I also got more and more involved in Wicca, also in the Kemetic tradition. I wasn't initiated in the Kemetic tradition until in the mid-90s. Well, I won't say actually initiated until actually in 2003, 2004, somewhere around in there, but I started studying with different teachers and what have you in the 90s. And it was just, I felt myself coming home. You know, my outside life, my outer life was still very much the same, the way that most people, you know, you go to work and what have you, but my inner life, which gradually led me farther and farther away from the traditional life, just would not allow me to do certain things anymore. And so I had to find other ways to make a living, actually, basically. That's what happened. And what, you know, I knew I could do, I took astrology, I took a formal courses back in the 80s, studied with teachers. Western astrology was what I started out with. Now I do Tantra Vedic astrology, which, again, is from India and other the tantric part of it is a combination, or I should call it alchemy, alchemical yoga. That's what I mean, alchemical astrology, because basically the astrology that I really focus on is called sidereal, and that's different from traditional Western astrology in that it's not season-based. Season-based astrology is based on solstices and eclipse, and not the eclipses, but the solstices and equinoxes, you know, the regular growing cycle of the sun. And sidereal astrology is based on the actual placements of the planets and stars in the sky at any given time. There's a huge difference as far as the, I'm not going to get too technical, but there is a big difference in the way astrologers see sidereal astrology, real-time astrology, versus season-based. They're both valid. I'm not saying that it's not. It's very valid. You can get a lot about a person's personality in the season-based astrology, and so based on that, you can kind of predict what they're going to be doing based on their life lessons and what have you, which do show up. However, the sidereal astrology is more based on their karmic responsibilities, duties, what they came here in their auric field, what's in their auric field, their energy bodies is what the aura is, their chakra system, all of that. So I have found it to be just a tremendous, tremendous advantage as far as really seeing what's the soul purpose and what where the soul is going in the lifetime. So that's why I use that. And again, it's based on the actual placement of the stars and planets at any given time, where you can actually see, and it's, and also with season-based astrology, there is a lot of guesswork that goes on unless you're extremely intuitive. With the sidereal system, it's just right there in front of you. It's no guesswork. I mean, I'm not going to say there's not a level of mastery that you have to have, but it's very different in the approach, and it gives you. I just find it because this is the way ancient Vedic people as well as ancient Kemetic people and all the ancient cultures, the Mayans, they all use real-time star placements.
Right.
So that's one of the main reasons that I chose to work with that. So to make a long story short, that's my journey in a nutshell. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you touched on briefly what is the difference between your vulva or Vedic astrology mm-hmm. versus Western astrology, because you mm-hmm. go into more detail in reference to that, because I want people to understand.
Well, I mean, again, if they go into a lot of detail, they would have to be astrologers. The main difference is that in Western season-based astrology is based on the solstices and the equinox, meaning where the sun's placement as it crosses the equator. That represents the beginning of the new year in Western astrology with Aries. However, the thing of it is, there's like a 23, 24, or 25 degree difference. And, you know, astrology is based on mathematics. And, you know, without getting too detailed in that way, it just means that whereas when the sun crosses the equator in season-based astrology, it's still in Aries, is still in Pisces in the sidereal system, because that's actually where it's not based on the zodiac. The zodiac is an invisible, in the Western system, it's an invisible elliptic circle or that the sun goes around each based on it just gets too technical for people who are not astrologers. It's just basically a difference in how it's set up. Real-time astrology is based on where the stars and planets actually are, not on an invisible, imaginary, or auric field, okay? It's based on real placements, whereas the other chart is based on the auric field that's been built up over time, even though it's not in alignment with where the planets and signs the planets and stars really are. The constellation of sidereal astrology is not the same thing as the zodiac. So that's the big difference, and it's like a 23 to 24 degree difference in the two. And my vulva chart came out of the studies that I have done with Tantra. based on the wisdom goddesses in Tantra, based on the comedic goddesses in Tantra, based on sacred sexuality principles, based on compatibility in the Vedic system. So there's a lot of ingredients, and it was a gradual process that was revealed to me while I was in my initiation in a comedic temple. I think you've had her on, Newt Butterfly.
Yes, we have.
I was one of. I am still in initiation for priesthood in the Shady Mirror Temple. So it evolved out of that Devova and Shiva Lingam chart practice developed out of my initiation in the Temple of Women. So it's only been in existence maybe about 4 or 5 years. The way, you know, this practice that was revealed to me. And, you know, Shady Mirror is a Het Heru and Newt tradition. So, you know, when you're dealing with Het Heru, it's always got to be about bliss and you know, the highest forms of bliss and love. And so she revealed that, you know, another way of working with astrology that focuses on what brings people's bliss, you know, well, not brings them, but helps them to open up to what's already there. Most of, you know, I'm not saying that you don't have issues, you don't have challenges, but I think we are all given a code or a map for our destiny that we can choose to work in many different ways. But if you want the bliss, then there's a certain pathway you have, and it always involves your sexuality. It always involves what opens you up to deeper pleasure and fulfillment. If you ignore that in your life, you're setting yourself up for failure. So that is, you know, it was revealed. It was a process. It was a gradual process of how it was revealed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the other question I have as well is there's obviously a connection between sexuality and spirituality and our birthing charts or our astrology charts, our global charts.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, there's a goddess for every part of the vault.
Oh, wow. A goddess for every part of the vault.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole lot of parts in the vault.
Yeah, there are. I mean, Het Heru, she's like the ruler of the whole vulva. She's a known, one of her names is Lady of the Vulva. So she's, you know, astrology is her, that is her domain, okay? Even though Tehuti gives you the wisdom to understand it, she is the actual energy behind all of that.
Right. Tehuti is the scribe, and she's giving it to him.
Well, actually, he,
in a way.
Shashita gives it to Tehuti.
Right, that's what
yeah.
I just. Well,
but her energy is what makes all of it work. Okay,
right,
her
right.
She's the one that makes it all work. So, you know, I give honor to her because she, and also in Nit is the ruler of sexual alchemy. In fact, you know, from my understanding, her energy, Nit, the ancient Kemetic deity goddess, is the. She's the one that was the creator of Tantra, or what we call now Tantra, but it's the weaver. She's the one that weaves the energies together, and that's what the word actually means, is weaving together different energies and creating alchemy from that. So, let me talk a little bit about the different parts of the yoni. Well, Kali or Sekhmet is the actual kundalini itself, the energy, the electrical force that we all have that when it's awakened pierces the different energy centers in our body and purifies them, brings healing and light and truth, and she is that. Tara or Tefnut is the actual what we call Amrita, and that is the activated sexual fluid, okay, that is ruled by her. Tripura Sundari is also Bast, and those energies are the pleasure itself. Chinamasta Het Hut is the womb itself, the space where the womb is, not the actual womb, but the space where the womb is. Bagala, Shashida, and Ast are the channel through which this energy flows, And then we have Beth, who rules the vulva itself, of the actual lips of the vulva. That's the gateway. The root, the womb itself is ruled by Bhuvaneshwari, and that's Newt. So, you know, there you can, depending on which, what is activated, the when I do your chart, I can tell which goddesses are most active in your life and the ones that you can set up your altars to, and you kind of, you know, well, not kind of, but those are the goddesses that you can depend on to always be there for you.
Now, there was a question in the chat room since you just mentioned your chart. How can I get a personalized vulva astrology chart? That was the question in the chat room, so I want you to give that information out now and, of course, toward the end of the show.
Okay, sure. You just send me an email, and my email is, let me give you, I have quite a few, so let me just give you the one that's quickest, and that would be Bluestar. 131@hotmail.com.
Bluestar131@hotmail.com.
Right, and that comes directly to me. And they can also take a look, because I have different information on my blog. I have stopped doing it for a while, but I'm beginning to get it together again. Excuse me.
You know, this information that you have and that you're sharing with us now about these charts, it is of vital importance that people understand how important the charting and astrology is to our, you know, in our day-to-day lives. Because, you know, we pick our parents, we pick when we were born, and there's a point in all of that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the point, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you can go ahead, because I was just going to cosine, basically.
And this chart also can tell you a little bit about past lives and things of that nature.
Yes. Your chart will definitely show past loves, past lovers, past ways of loving, what you've come forth in this life to either build upon or release. You know, in fact, there was an article I recently did and for a local magazine, a New Age magazine here, and it was about dream lovers and the unmasking, and it was called Dream Lovers and the Unmasking of Our Passionate Selves, and it was about a fictitious person, but I have dealt with this in my own life and with other people, someone who is having, like, really erotic dreams where she sees and experiences, and they're not even dreams, they're like astral experiences. I mean, they're dreams, it's in the astral plane. And in the astral plane, you can or you may or may not be dreaming. It's lucid dreaming is what I would call it. She had experiences with these erotic experiences, come to find out that this was a past life lover who, you know, was with her now. And she was, you know, this is something that happens a lot. And the way she had, you know, tried to resolve it on her own, because she was just, it was not uncomfortable. It was not a bad experience, but it was something that just was unusual. What I did was look, and I used the Western tradition for this, although I did see it confirmed in, there was a lot of matchups in the Vedic Tantra chart as well. Aware that this was a soulmate, you know, that had come to reconnect. And so once she started understanding that was what was happening, it became very clear. You know, it was someone who was a very positive connection for her, and they now are in communication very frequently, even though he is in the spirit world. So, you know, it's just so much in our lives that, especially now and in these changing times, where we don't have the roadmaps that we used to, where this, you go to point A to point B to point C to point D. Spirit is activating people on a mass, on, you know, the teachers of old who are, whether they want to be or not, you know, to help birth this new life that that's coming into being. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered that. I don't know if I answered your question.
You definitely answered the question.
I forgot the question.
Well, you're still feeding us the information we need.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You've answered that and given us some additional information. Mm-hmm. Now, these charts also help in terms of, you know, sexual liberation through Kundalini work
mm-hmm.
and relationships that bring liberation. Could you speak to that aspect?
Mm-hmm. Now, can you? I'm not clear on the question. You said this, the chart, how the chart reveals what
right,
your path is, sexual path. Is that yes, absolutely.
Right,
again,
right.
through understanding the goddesses that you're working with,
right.
Or you know, they will reveal themselves in the kind of sexual experiences that you are attracted to. You know, some people are naturally tantric, and the way that shows up, usually they're usually women who are very, very, who have practiced either as priestesses or initiators, all are usually extremely sexual beings. Now, in this culture, that usually doesn't work very well, you know, for women who are not, you know, in a one-man, one-woman type of thing. That can be very challenging because of the, you know, the connotations, the health risks, all a lot of issues. However, these women are usually tantricas. They're yoginis. And what shows up usually is a very strong Venus, a very strong moon in certain houses, the north node, the south node, those energies are usually very strong. I'm talking about from the kind of charts that I do. And what they have to learn how to do is really to reenact, or not reenact, but reconnect with that inner priestess and learn those relearn or open themselves up again to learn to doing Kundalini Shakti exercises, maybe getting into a healing profession like massage therapists or, you know, whatever they're called to do, artists. You know, a lot of artists are highly sexual. A lot of creative people are very sexual.
Yeah.
And they have that all that energy for a reason. They're supposed to be creating, not just, you know, and it's not everybody's not here to be a gate to have children. And that's the thing. If you're not here to do that, or if that's not a priority, then what do you do with all this energy? You know, that becomes the question. And so this the chart will show them that, you know, you have a very strong creative sexual urge. Now, you can do that. You can work it out however you want to, but if you want to work with your goddesses consciously, then she's calling you to do such and such, you know, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, can you speak about yoni and lingam compatibility? Or
yeah, the yoni is another word for the vulva. Yes, actually I can talk about the different aspects of the of what attracts people to each other. Well, and the equivalent, the Shiva Lingam chart is the equivalent for men. Okay,
right.
So that is just basically the same process for men. I mean, of course, they don't have wombs and what have you, but they have
right.
a ruler for their lingam. They have a ruler for their testes. You know, they have a ruler for the internal, I can't think of the term, but it's the equivalent of our G-spot. So, you know, all of that's still active for them as well. And for men, it's easier. They are usually more directly connected with their sexual energy. But as far as they may be called to be a sexual healer or something along that line, and, you know, they're out here having on these different women, or they might have, they might be, you know, an artist, singer, writer, whatever. A lot of musicians, more than actors, I find, have a very strong sexual charge, and I'm not sure why that is yet. I think it's just, you know, the fluidness of what they're doing, but it just seems that a lot of musicians have the same kind of strong charge. And There are a few things when you're looking at a chart that you want to look at for compatibility, and it's always number one going to be the moon. I know that's in Western astrology, that's not the case, but the moon is always a very strong indicator of compatibility. You need to look at the type of moon energy as far as their character. They're in in the Vedic tradition, there are three characters. They could be like devas or godlike, human or demonic. And demonic doesn't mean you're a demon. It just means
right.
that they're nonconformists. They do their own thing. The devas are usually the ones, the pillars of societies, the one who follows the rules. The human has a little bit of both. So if you have usually the woman who has, you know, if her moon sign is compatible, is not, she could be a deva or godlike energy, and the man could be demonic or innovative. I don't even like to use that word, but for lack of a better term right now, she can deal with him. But a man who has a deva or godlike personality and has a demonic feminine mate or interest, that's going to be more difficult. Usually a very innovative woman, and I mean, I'm not saying, she just needs to have another person who's on the same wavelength. So it's harder for women. It's harder for women to, if you're looking for a traditional relationship now, if they're open to, you know, polyamory or whatever, a lot of other, you know, options out here, that would more than likely work better for them. So that's just another thing. And if they're looking for marriage, then the next thing, and all this, by the way, comes out of the moon sign. There are like 15 different energies you look for, and they're all in that moon sign that you can find out the likelihood. And this has been going, this particular way of doing the chart, it's like 5,000 years old. So it's not some, you know, it's not hit or miss. It wouldn't still be around because this is from a culture that believed in arranged marriages. So they're going to look for the best. And very few, even today, in India and a lot of other cultures like that, they go to the astrologer before they make a move.
Right.
Before they make a move.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the basis of everything that deals with our being. When were we born, and what type of energy was there when we were born?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, you know, that's of vital importance, and a lot of people go through life wondering why a certain task or a certain adventure that they're going on is not working out for them.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that they're not doing what their energy has lined up for them right now at that
exactly.
moment in their life.
And it can always work. I mean, it can, that's the thing.
It can
know,
work, but you...
You have to work with, and you have to go work with it within the framework. I mean, it could
right,
be that,
right.
you know, you can make something happen, but it's not going to have the legs to last beyond a certain point if you try to force something through. That's
right.
what has helped me consistently in my life. Not saying that you shouldn't go with your life and, you know, just go for it. But if you're in a cycle of where you know, your relationships are really going to go through a lot of challenges. You open up to the challenges and get the fruit and the benefit and the bliss from those challenges, or you choose to put your energy somewhere else for that 2 or 3 years or whatever, because that energy is going to play itself out. You know, it's just going to do that. So, and I know Westerners have a hard time because, you know, we're programmed to think we have total control over everything. You know, and okay, if I'm not saying that you don't have input, I like to think of it as co-creating more so than total control. So, you know, that's just the way I have found it to work. Now, there could be other ways. I'm just saying that that's what I have found. So people who are interested in having children, they're going to want to understand their fertility potentials and the happiness that they will actually have from having children. A lot of people say they want children, but when they get them, it's not a good look for them, you know. So that's the other thing, you know. Do you really have what it takes to be a parent, you know?
Wow.
A lot of people don't, and that's just the reality.
But
then souls choose those particular people for their own growth, too. So there you
exactly.
have it.
Exactly.
Then we also look at the prosperity potentials. And also, in the Vedic system, a woman is actually considered to be the wealth of the family. So her general well-being is included as being, you know, part of the whole look of the wealth of the people involved. Then you have sexual compatibility, and this is a biggie. And I mean, this works within marriage and without, you know, it shows. Through, again, the moon, they're, you know, and they give these colloquialism, I can't even say the word, but it's basically you look at animals. They give different animals that correspond to different yonis and lingams. You have horses, you have pigs, you have a lotus flower. You know, they're different, and you look at whether, okay, is a snake going to be compatible with a rabbit? Okay? So it's like you look at those things too, and or a horse with a rabbit. Okay? Can you imagine the two of them making love type of thing? So you do have that sexual compatibility energy, and they're connected to as far as, you know, how they're actually interpreted, they are, and I've lost my train of thought, but that is basically, you know, a way to determine whether the people are sexually compatible. You also look at the social systems that each person brings to the relationship. Are they conservative, you know, born-again Christians? Are they, you know, New Age tree huggers? What are their families like? You know, all of these things play in, because that's going to affect the relationship if you're talking about marriage. And if you're not talking about marriage, it won't have that impact, that kind of impact, but you're still going to have some serious impact, just the social values of the person. You look at the prosperity of the children. Some children come here born to be wealthy, you know, and that's going to be beneficial to the parents. There are some children that are going to be, you know, more of a burden. They may be born with health issues or emotional issues, all of these things. You know, this shows when you look at the compatibility. You have the longevity of the relationship itself and the people involved. You know, there is this thing that you can look at, which I really don't do, but you can look to see how long a person is going to actually physically be alive. There's something you look at, a mutual attraction and respect. There are a lot of relationships where, you know, that's not a factor, or where it's a factor, but it's not a compatible thing. And you look at the resilience of a relationship, how well the person or the people involved are going to be able to stand up to hardship, you know, and interferences with in-laws and life experiences and that type of thing. Do they have the kind of staying power that's going to make a relationship last? And we also have some obstacles, what's called the Kuja dosha placement, and that's a malefic placement of Mars. And a lot of people have it. They have, and it's either in the first house, the fourth house, the seventh house, the eighth house, or the 12th house. If you have Mars in any one of those signs in the Vedic chart, not the Western chart, but if you have that, chances are you're going to have serious issues in intimacy. It doesn't mean that you can't have it, but they're and what I also like is that there are rituals you can do. There's Hesi mantras you can work with that will bring things more, that will take the pressure off, so to speak. So it's not like doom and gloom. There's always some things you can do. You know, your past life, relationships, soulmates, divine partners, all of that shows up. All of that shows up. Oh, I see Diva Mama Tanya's here, too. I just saw her.
Oh, yeah, we're having fun in the chat room.
I see. I see. Uh-huh.
All right. I recall you mentioning in the 10 wisdom goddesses and
mm-hmm.
their roles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the different aspects of the vulva. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And say, for instance, if you have a strong Kali energy, then this is, or Sekhmet, this is the mark of a healer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the mark of someone who has the ability to use their sexual energy as a healer, okay? Now, how you choose to heal, how many ways are there in the world to do? You could be a musician, you could be, you know, whatever, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. It's just that you use your energy, depending on where that placement is. It's just showing up as someone who has tremendous sexual healing, sexual energy that they can use for healing. Sekhmet, Kali, that's that. A strong Chinnamasta could be someone who is here to bear a lot of children. You know, she needs a strong womb and a strong girdle, a strong pelvic seat to do that. So, you know, or it could just be an extra boon to guard against weak, you know, female organs or anything like that. Let's see. I'm just trying to look at some other ones. for the clitoris. The clitoris is ruled by Ast and Bagala Shashita. I mean, and those energies rule orgasm itself. And so, you know, with a strong sense of that, or that kind of strength, a lot of women have blocked sexual drive, you know. So you can work with those goddesses to unblock it. And there's usually there's accompanying reasons, feelings, emotions that are connected that are often past life or this life, but more often it's past life, and it could be the conditioning that she grew up with. So that's also a factor. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, I am going to take a brief break,
mm-hmm.
and we will be right back. If anyone has any questions, please put your questions in the chat room, and we will be taking callers about 5 or 10 minutes after the break. Our call-in number is 646-716-7675, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Your teacher said,
I'm so in love.
Yes, I am. I certainly am.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to check the chat room briefly to see if we have any more questions.
There was someone who said they had questions. They were looking. I think they wanted, I don't know what they wanted. Actually, I don't know, but it seemed like she wanted to see a website or something. I just have my blog. I really haven't taken the time to do an actual, regular website. I just really haven't, but I'm seeing now that I'm going to have to. So until I get that up, then people please, you can reach me through my blog or my email easily. And, that way we can still keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see here.
Now, one thing that I would like to talk, people are asking me, well, how does, about the goddess, basically. I get a lot of questions about the goddess in general. And basically, all of this stuff came out of ancient pre-dynastic Kemet and other cultures, whether it be in the Americas, whether it be in the Pacific, Lemurian, old times. This
right.
goddess energy is basically about evolution through the serpent energy. It's also
right.
it's a container. The goddess energies are about containers so civilizations can thrive. That's the thing that we, keep. That's we do have containers now, but these containers are not healthy, okay? And so we need to clean them out and bring new energies in. And basically the goddess life, the life back in the times where it was more matriarchal or whatever, and I'm not saying that it was perfect because it was never perfect. We had issues in matriarchal cultures just like we have issues in patriarchal cultures. The one focus, though, was so life could thrive, And so that is, and so we did mystical, we were more connected mystically with, people always are saying, well, there's no real basis for astrology. Yes, there is. Our ancestors in the ancient Kemetic tradition were able to astral travel to the different planets. Those planets were actual gateways and maps to different how to get from point A to point B when you're astral traveling, basically. That's how they use them, in addition to just, and normal tracking the time and the seasons and that type of thing. And also they strongly felt that ancestral energies were emitting from certain planets and star systems. So we had, we've lost track of that, and that was all very much more part of the matriarchal cultures. So it's just now, I think we're going to have a combination of both men and masculine and feminine in this next go-round that we're getting ready to enter, okay? And it will be more natural for that people will feel, everybody will feel more comfortable with what's coming, I do believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. And there isn't, and to just talk a little bit about ecstasy and bliss, because a lot of people, you know, what's...
You just read my mind.
Okay. I was just going to give my definition, because, again, in the vulva chart, what I'm tracking are your bliss codes. There are certain things that are going to activate your life and make it work better, or it will naturally unfold in the way that you want it to when you're working with your bliss codes. And what I call the science of ecstasy. Ecstasy is not hedonism. Okay, I look at somebody like Hugh Hefner as a hedonist. And that is someone who is disconnected from their essence. They seek outside pleasures in hopes of feeling ecstasy, you know, something outside. I look at that as vampirism. Okay, I define ecstasy as connecting with the essence of anything first within yourself. Okay, because underneath everything is ecstasy. That is what makes the planets go. That's what makes the blood flow. That's what makes the flower grow. Everything connected in life is ecstatic underneath it. Okay, it's your state of self-knowing and reveling in that self-knowing. Is what was shown to me in meditation is that orgasm is what brings galaxies together. That's the glue, you know, a constant state underneath it. Go ahead. I feel a question here.
the comment you just made is, I liken it to what I tell people. I was joking with someone a while ago, and I was like, well, the Big Bang was nothing than the Great Mother's orgasm.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And anything creative, that's what makes things, that's the magnetic pull, you know, is the
right.
Orgasmic energy. And we have this feeling that it's something outside of ourselves, something that we have to, we're always searching for, but it's already there. It's already there. It's the Amrita is the flow of this fluid energy that is always in high ecstasy. And once you connect with that within your own self, this essence will teach you how to connect to it in any situation or sentient being. And again, it's not saying that you're not going to have issues and problems and all of that, but underneath it, if you could open up yourself, and this is something I learned in the Temple of Women, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, if anybody's interested in really evolving their women's energy, their feminine potency, I would recommend the Temple of Women for that. She really, Diva Mama Newt, really knows how, or she's been gifted with her constant connection with Heru to really open women in ways that I haven't seen anybody else be able to do. And that, she's not, you know, she's, it's her goal or her way is to bring that out in you. It's not, you're not looking at her as your guru. She's the container for Heru, basically. So that whole energy is phenomenal.
And if anyone wants more information in reference to Temple of Women or Orgasmic Living, she is in the chat room right now.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay. Well, where is she? I'll give her a shout out. Where is she?
And we had her on a previous show, so if you would look through our archives, I think that was maybe two or three shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in our archives and listen to that and check her out. I put the website in the chat room just now, Temple of Women, and Women is spelled, I'm sorry, it's the Temple of Women, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Temple of Women. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me correct my link.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's the Temple of Women, and Women is spelled WOMBN. So, and also make sure that you visit shaktifire.blogspot.com. That is Laaya Aneb Nuwa's website.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Blogspot for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, sister, give your email address.
It's bluestar131@hotmail.com. Mm-hmm. And just getting back to what I was saying about ecstasy, once you connect it with your own ecstatic essence, that essence itself will teach you how to connect to it within any situation or being. and makes you sensitive to your senses. And your senses are basically how external ecstasy is picked up. Okay, your air, fire, water, earth, ether is how your senses are able to process, and you can enter ecstatic states through any of those external ones. But you, in order to do that, you have to be connected with your own source first to really benefit from it, because otherwise it becomes addictive, and you're just looking, you're chasing yourself, trying to find that fix again and again and again. And denying the self, to reach the self, is counterproductive, and that's where most of our religions are. You know,
right?
The mainstream religions are telling you to deny yourself. You're never, ever, ever, ever going to get to an ecstatic state for any length of time. Now, I mean, there are yogis who do that, but what they do, they're chasing ecstasy. So basically, even though they're denying themselves, they're actually chasing ecstasy, and they're just chosen to me a very, not all yogis, but I'm talking about the ones, the siddhas who sit in the caves. They eventually get to the ecstasy, but you know, that's a very masculine way to do it, to deny and just have that one pointed focus and to deny everything else. And to just, I mean, that works, but I don't think it's really a good way, healthy way for a woman to do it. You know, she has the natural juices to work to get to those ecstatic states, and that's what initiating priestesses did. Their job was just to open up to their own ecstasy, and everybody around them and everything around them got in line with their own ecstasy. That's really what happens. But you got to be a woman to be able to do that. You got to embrace that feminine energy in order to do that. So, you know, that's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me check the call lines to see if we have any questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller from area code 864. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Oh, there's Deb, too. Okay.
Area
hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is Zion. I'm just listening in.
Okay.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. Did you have a question? Nope, I guess not.
I think the sister said she was just listening in.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If anyone has any questions in the chat room or wherever you're listening from, because we're on Facebook and, you know, our website, which is blackwombniverse.webs.com, and on our Ning site. So anyone, no matter where you're listening, if you have a question while we have her on the air live, now's the time to call in if it's something that we have not already touched on. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. And if you're in the chat room, make sure you put your questions in so I can ask them for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like I said, just give us a call on in so we can have Laia.
Does anybody know that? Does anybody have, if anybody knows their chart, you can also, if you want to call in with your chart in hand, even if it's a Western chart, I can do a real quick, like, assessment of what, at least what your primary goddess is. I mean, I can't do anything as far as, like, a full chart with this. I wouldn't even try. It wouldn't be fair to you to try to do that. But if you at least know what your moon sign is, I can translate that. If it's a Western chart, I can translate it to the tantric chart and let you at least know what your goddesses, who your primary goddesses are.
Maybe I'll try to pull mine up.
Okay.
I forget where it was, but I guess we can. Everybody's gonna be all up in my business, but that's fine.
I won't release all your.
No,
goodies.
I love the. I don't care. I love sharing, so it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we're only gonna get into a little bit of information anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll go ahead and pull mine up.
Mm-hmm. And I do have somebody in the chat room. Oh, a couple of them that I've done. I've done one for Diva Mama. Three, actually. I've done
A
chart for Diva Mama. I've done
one. Yeah, see, I'm already excited. I've already told you, you know, when we get off the air, we got to, because I need my chart ASAP.
And, you know, I'm so thankful because I've had you and another person that I've got to call her. Actually, more than that, but I have not had the time recently. Because, you know, again, living in this world, unless you are blessed with the financial support to be able to do the work full time, which right now I'm not. I still have to work a regular job, and so I really just have not had a lot of time to do the creative work that I want to do. I'm also working on a book that I definitely will have finished by the
spring. Oh, wow. Look, I stepped away. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I stepped away for a moment to pull up my birth chart, and the switchboard just lit up with questions.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, before we get to the switchboard, since I've already pulled up
my chart. Pulled yours up. Okay, we'll go with yours.
Yes, I'm going to go, okay, so what do you want first from my
chart? I just need to know, okay, is this a regular Western chart?
Yes, it's the Western chart.
And what is your lunar, your moon sign in?
Capricorn.
Okay, what degree?
11.07.
Okay, 11.7, so I'm going to just, in my mind, calculate that would put you into 18 degrees Sag, okay? So that actually your moon is in Sagittarius, okay? So what that means, and let's see, 18 Sag, this energy is makes you very unusual. You do have what they call a demonic moon. And that's not, yes, again, that's not a bad thing. Just makes you very unconventional. Yes, very nonconformist. Your own person. It also makes you a very private person. I'm seeing a need for protection. A lot of times you're not well received as far as your viewpoints, especially with men. You get
That's funny.
I mean, I'm
very
not.
It's very true. Oh,
okay.
It's true.
Okay. But you are here to be a teacher, okay? The goddess that I'm seeing as your primary energy would be who they call, Matanji, who actually, Matanji is the gateway of the vulva. So you are an initiator. That's part of like what you're here to do. And what you are here to do is initiate men. The thing of it is that you have to find a way. It's not going to come through rational. You have to learn to tap more into your intuitive side. Men are more like your students. That's what they come to you for. But you try to change them with your mind, with your thought, your thinking, your verbal. That's not going to work. You have to change them with your vulva. If that makes not even change them, but help them to understand feminine energy.
We'll talk more about that when I call you privately.
Okay. I mean, is it making sense, though?
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. So, that's
it.
It
makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go to the switchboard where we have a plethora of hands up. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take caller number 3, area code 207. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello, this is Diva Carla.
Hi, Diva Carla.
I'm calling Maine.
Hi,
Diva Leia.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I came in late, and I heard you talking about the charts, and I heard you talking about ecstasy, and wow, it was good. I'll have to listen to the recording for the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in here to tell about my chart and about.
Oh, you do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to tell you any details because it's not in front of me. I could go get it, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I just want to say the value of this chart, that the vulva astrology chart that Diva Leia did for me, it's, 18 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Seems maybe 2 years. I forgot. The first thing that happened was she ain't talking about me. And then what happened was I grew into it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what was there was really new. There was a big unveiling. And now I go back and I look and I say, she was right. It was all there. It was all she could read in my vulva. She could read the seeds of the next, my next development.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful. And she's magnificent
to work with.
She's also a diva sister. So.
Yes. Yes. I've done almost all of my diva sisters. Not all, but they're still coming slowly but surely. But I'm glad that, and you said something very important, and that is the unfolding. A lot of times, just depending on where a person is, it is going to be an unfolding. It could be just the seedlings, but it's the bliss codes. It's there for you to tap into whenever you want. It's there. It's just, you know, now you have access to it. And so that's part of the process, is once you are aware of it, then a lot of it is just really confirmation that you had inklings, your womb was talking to you in just instinctual ways, and this just gives you a name and a face for all of that. And then you can just basically just start following what you're being guided to do in comfort, knowing that it is on point.
Well, it's very valuable, and I can definitely recommend both following Diva Laiea in her regular postings and audios that she does, and then, you know, having the personal chart done. And I'm going to step back into the background and let somebody else step forward if they have a question or want to talk about something.
Oh, well, thank you so much again, Diva.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us, Diva Carla.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have another caller from area code 323. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi. Greetings. This is Angie calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Angie.
Hi. Yeah, I got in late, too, but I did catch the request for the natal chart. My moon is in Aries. It's 5.57.
And 5 degrees. Mm-hmm. 5 degrees Aries?
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to put you...
5.57.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's, you know, that's fine. So that will put you in Pisces, and that would be 11 degrees Pisces. And let's see, with Pisces, that's Uttara Bhadrapada. That's just something, I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there, but that's the sensitive point for you in your moon sign. Well, I'm going to just say this, and I don't know how deep you want me to go on the air. Men have a tendency to want to take care of you. Okay, you have this real sensitive side that men just really adore. And the thing of it is, you're a good-hearted person. You're a very nurturing person. You're in the human, characteristics of the basic human, which means that you have both goddess qualities and what they call the demonic qualities. But the demonic just means that it means basically you're a little unconventional. The thing of it is that you have a tendency to be overtaken in your desire nature. This is, again, a signature, what I have found with women, especially with this kind of very strong, nurturing energy, that you can get kind of swallowed up by your significant others. You have to learn to stand your ground because you're the watery energy, that's Tefnut, and that's, you know, just makes you just so, well, for lack of a better word, juicy to be around, that, you know, that water just goes out to whoever, and you can attract energies that are not in your best interest. So Tefnut is very strong in your chart, and as you know, water takes on the quality of whatever it's around. You know, it takes on that energy. So you just have to be very careful. And your signature is the medium, the psychic, the medium, the divine mother type. So that's, you know, what you're working with. Does this make sense to you?
You're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
The kind of man that you would do better with, someone who's very grounded, who balances out all that water, where you can still nurture him, but who still knows how to have healthy boundaries. You have a tendency to draw men who are very much like you, and that can cause problems because there's no boundaries. Nobody knows where anybody is. It's like you become one big kind of energy. You know what I'm saying? That works well with Tantra if you practice tantric sex, but in a regular day-to-day life, it can be kind of like overwhelming.
That is exactly what I figured out. Well, as far as man-wise, I figured out what I needed. You're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I'll let you get to the other callers. Thank
y'all.
Thank you for calling in, Angela.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. We have another caller. The area code is 253. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Dawn, and I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi. Hi. I'm doing great. You're on my Facebook and my
mind. Oh, yes. I know who you are. Yes, I do know
yes,
who you are.
That would be me.
Uh-huh.
That would be me. And so I'm calling to find out about my goddess qualities, and I have a 27-degree Scorpio moon.
Okay. So you're still in Scorpio. There's a 24-degree difference. So, okay, you say you're 27, so that will put you at about, what, 3-degree Scorpio.
Yeah.
And that's and the actual energy that, and I have that same placement. People give Scorpio a bad name, but Scorpio really, especially this particular aspect, is really a very kind, generous spirit. Okay, you have strictly the characteristics are diva or goddess like, and that energy itself is the energy, again, of, let's see, she is Saturn. And so Saturn, the thing of it is that Saturn does know boundaries, and that is still a water energy, depending on where your Saturn is. But people have a tendency, I mean, you are the organizer. I mean, you would be the perfect person to run a business for someone, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have that kind of energy. It also gives you sort of a hard energy with your emotions. Not saying that you are hard, it just means that it's hard for you to trust other people enough to show that deeper side of yourself. Once you do that, then, you know, that person will not find a stronger, more compatible, or I won't say compatible, but a stronger friend. And that's what your sign actually means, is the divine friend. You are an excellent friend. The thing of it is that because you're such an excellent friend, you can sometimes, especially in relationships, be taken advantage of because of your kindness. You need the kind of man energy, male energy that would work for you is sort of a warrior type, someone who is protective but who still gives you your space so you can go ahead and live your life. And because you're definitely not a wallflower, you're definitely here to put, you know, to for I think you should have your own business if you don't. If you don't,
I'm working on that.
Okay, that's the thing. And I also think you're a highly developed psychic. You could do psychic work. A lot of people can't do it because they don't have the boundaries. You need to have healthy boundaries. You could be a good, you know, spiritual counselor, coach, anything along that. In that realm, whoever you're connected to, man wise, he will go far if he recognizes what he has. Because if he doesn't, then you don't need to be with him. But in any case, you would help him to do whatever, and still, you know, you're still going to have a very satisfying relationship, as well as helping him to manifest what he wants to manifest. So it's basically, you know, the only thing, again, I see with you, you're very charismatic. Your part of your path is wealth, prosperity. I do see issues with mother energies, so I don't know if this is your mother.
I'm going to be contacting you for a more in-depth reading.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay. Yes. Please do.
I appreciate all the valuable information you've given me, and go on to your next caller. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have a caller from area code 340. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi. My name is Trista. I'm calling from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for calling.
How are you?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm not really strong in this, like which moon is what, but do I just get my birth date?
No, I really do need to have the moon sign because I don't really have time, you know, to look it up. So what you can do is there's a free site. Do you know the time you were born?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's 2:15 a.m.
Okay, well, what you can do is go over to the site. It's called www.astro.com. And you can plug in your information, and they will give you a computer chart And you probably, I mean, we've still got about 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, we have about 15 minutes. If you
so if you want to do that and then call us back in the moon, they'll tell you what your moon sign is. And then you can do that, and we can do a quick look through. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we would need the moon. We would need the moon sign and the degree.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You'll see it when you pull your chart up. Mm-hmm. So if you could just press 1 on your keypad, and then when you pull up your information, press 1 again, so your hand will come back up.
Okay then. All right. Thank you.
Uh huh. Now I do see a question here in the chat room from Arlene Angus. She's asking, I'm assuming it's a she. She wants to know, what does it mean when you can only reach orgasm through porn? Is that a bad thing? Well, I'm not going to label good or bad. What it does mean is that there's an outside addiction that you haven't, or whoever it is that you're asking about, is not in touch with that internal core, that internal orgasmic core. And when there, again, whether it's addiction to porn, potato chips, you know, whatever, that is an external thing. And I'm not, so what, if you're asking about somebody specific, there are ways to deal with it. I won't say it's bad. I just feel that you'll always be on a treadmill trying to, or is it a treadmill or when the hamster's on, whatever you call that thing, you're always chasing that same high. It's a high you're looking for. That high has to come from within if it's going to be something that you can tap into at any time. Or know how to access, or healthier ways to access. Again, you can. The pleasure principles are in nature; they're, you know, all around you, and they're easier. You know, once you understand how to access them, you can always access them. But if you're steadily looking for a high, that is going to be destructive over time. I hope that answered your question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look back at the switchboard, see if we have another caller.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone number is coming up as private or Skype caller.
Greetings.
Hi.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm fine.
This is wonderful. I am Queen Goddess Uokis. And
hi.
Hi. And my moon sign is Jupiter, Sagittarius.
Okay, what degree of Sag is your moon?
0.05.
Mm-hmm. So you're right, just getting in there. Okay. So is it zero meaning that is 0 degrees, and then 0.5 meaning, okay. So you're 0 degrees Sagittarius. Your moon is actually in Scorpio. So that would bring it to 6 degrees Scorpio. Similar situation to the lady I just spoke with. You have Anurata as your goddess energy. That is the lotus. That's the vulva lotus. Again, it makes you... Now, there's a lot of different ways that this energy can play out. If you have been hurt with someone with that kind of... with your moon energy, that goddess of is still... she's still there, but she kind of shuts down, and that's what your divine plan is, to find ways of reopening that lotus, because the lotus closes at night, okay, and it opens when there's light. So you have to find, again, that bliss code within you, and depending on where it is in your chart, your moon, that's where you're going to find your juice to open up to the light. As long as there's fear, there's sadness, it's going to be hard for you to open up to that light. But your vulva is requiring. There's a strong sexual nature to your. And as you get older, your energy changes and you can become more discriminating. But most of us have set our energy points when we're relatively young and just exploring our sexuality. So by the time you're a certain age, you think it's a certain way. And what a lot of times it's about unlearning things, and that's what I'm feeling, you know, with your energy. Yours is about connecting with the Kundalini as a way of liberation instead of as, you know, as a way to attach to a relationship that may not be in your best interest. Is what I'm saying making sense to you?
Mm-hmm. It is. The name of the goddess you said again?
Oh, I didn't give it. I don't think I gave a name. I said it was a strong. Well, actually, it's Selkert. Selkert, S-E-L-K-E-T.
A Kemetic goddess.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay.
And she's the protector of sexual energy, of sexual initiation and that type of thing. So that's, you know, who I'm seeing for you. And also Shashita, she's coming up to me. That's not traditional, but I'm just feeling like she's the keeper of secrets and records.
I'm familiar with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an elder, so I would be in that, you know, reaching for enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
enlightenment stage. One thing you said was in terms of the Jupiter Scorpio opposed to Jupiter. Could
mm-hmm.
you elaborate on that a little bit?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what.
Because my moon comes up as Jupiter.
Oh, you mean in the regular? In the Western chart. Your moon is in Sag, and that is ruled by Jupiter.
Okay.
In the tantric chart, in the way that I do vulva astrology, I use the sidereal system, which is basically the real-time astrology. Okay, it's where the stars and planets are actually versus where you're using a different
system
basically.
Okay.
And this is, you know, it's more aligned with the way the ancients did it.
Like the Dendera.
Yes, exactly.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Very much.
Thank you so much for calling in and listening, Queen.
Yes.
My pleasure, and I'd like to continue listening.
Okay,
all
please
right.
do. Mm-hmm.
All right, Sister Laia.
Mm-hmm.
We have two sisters in the chat room that have given me their information, and we only have 9 minutes left, so
mm-hmm.
these will be the last two that we're able to take today, but I am definitely going to get my chart.
Mm-hmm. I hope
I've
so.
Already set up my beginning for my appointment.
Okay.
So I've got to get one of these charts. So I do.
And it's really a lot more elaborate. I mean, there's visuals.
Yes.
There's, you know, there's mantras. There's rituals. There's a whole lot that goes with
right.
it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So one sister has her moon in Aquarius.
Does she know what the degree?
It's 22.51.
Mm-hmm. 22. And Aquarius, okay, we're going to do one at a time. What's her first name? Did she give it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, but
I don't think
she
wants her name.
Okay, that's fine. That's
okay.
Let me just see here. So that's going to be 12 to 28 Capricorn. Okay, so her moon is in Capricorn. Let's see here. Well, and that's typical. I won't say typical, but a lot of times with the Capricorn energy, it's very, I won't say secretive, but reserved about sharing. Let's see. Well, this kind of energy is what they call the salt of the earth. Very grounded, very, I'm just picking up, the main thing that I'm picking up and seeing with this goddess is, when I say goddess, I'm talking about the woman, whoever she might be, I'm just feeling a lot of anxiety around material, money stuff. The way for her, this goddess needs just a plan. She needs to work her plan. Her energy, her vulva requires, I'm seeing two things for her. I'm seeing a very grounded, methodical way of doing things, but I'm also seeing a very free-spirited, creative person. And I think her path is Nit, Nit, N-E-I-T-H. That's the goddess. Mm-hmm. And Nit is the weaver. She weaves different aspects, different combinations, alchemy. She's got it. This sister has got to learn alchemy. Literally, because she's got a lot of things that she has to weave together in her life. And the thing that I'm seeing with her is that she's got too many people pulling on her energy. And that's typical for a Capricorn because they know how to handle responsibility. Everybody wants wants you in on their team and in their court because you know how to do things. But the thing of it is, it doesn't leave her any, and I'm almost having a problem breathing. Because it's just so much, she's overwhelmed. So what she has to do is to, you know, make lists. She's got to do I won't say should, but her bliss code is basically learning to only take on those things, because she is going to have a lot of, always have a lot of opportunities and people wanting to, her to be part of her their life for what and for whatever thing. She needs a man who can help her decompress, because she does have a lot of things going. She can't have a man that needs, that's needy. You know, that's not going to work for her. And I think that that's what she has a tendency to attract. But that's just one more drain on her energies. You know, she's got to learn how to weave, and that's what I'm going to say for her.
She said that you are very accurate in everything you just said.
Okay.
So just want to let you know that the last one that we will be able to do, and she also says she will need a full reading.
Okay.
So Sister Laia Aneb Nuwa's email address is bluestar131@hotmail.com, and I'm going to post her blog spot in the chat room again. All right, the last sister, she says her moon is in Virgo and the degree is 41.
Uh-uh, it couldn't be 41.
Okay.
You can only go to 30.
Ooh, okay. Jade 08, could you verify your degree for Virgo?
Because each sign only has 30 degrees. Now, that could be the minutes. No, she's showing me is the minutes. If it's 41 degrees, that's the minutes. 30. I mean, it would have to be like 30. The most it would go to is would be 30. Okay.
It said, but that's what it said. Wow.
Oh
man.
Sorry. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm so sorry, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish we could have gotten yours in, because I promised you yours.
Well, I'll tell you what. If she can, you know, get a more accurate thing, if she wants to email me, I'll give her a paragraph on what I see.
Okay, she says 2052.
Okay, that's more, yeah, I can work with that. I'm not sure what that other was. So 20 degrees Virgo is what she has?
Yes. Before you start, I want to have everyone call in so they can hear the last part of this reading. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. And Sister Motherwill, I see you in the chat room asking me to extend the show. I can't extend the show today. I've got appointments after the show that are very important. So,
but
again,
I can come back
said,
if it's an interest. I can definitely come back at some point. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. We've had a chat room full of people. We've had about 25 people go in and out the chat room, and of course there are people who are listening that are not in the chat room. So definitely, we would definitely have to have you back on.
Okay.
Thanks for everyone coming out to listen. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-7675. Jade, please make sure you call in to get on the line so you can hear the last part of the reading. Anyway, her moon is in Virgo, and it is 2052.
Okay, so she's really a Leo moon. And let me see, 10, let's see, 0. So she's like 26 degrees Leo. And, you know, Leo was one of my favorite energies. It really is. And let's see what we have here. Okay. Leo, for her energy, is she's a human. That's her characteristic. So that means she's going to have both goddess and demon qualities. Her primary focus is spiritual liberation. And it's also someone who needs to be in the limelight, someone who has aspirations for that, not necessarily as a singer or whatever, but it's somebody who has something to say. I'm seeing her being, for some reason, I'm just seeing politics, and I don't know what kind of politics, but she's definitely a leader. And the thing of it is that this strong vulva woman can really kind of intimidate men. I don't think that's her intention. But if they aren't coming with the goods, then she has no time for anything that she just finds is not, you know, on point with her. But she's also, she's definitely someone that you can depend on, a good friend, someone who is very loving once you get past the exterior. But I think what I'm just picking up is that she has men falling at her feet, but she's just not falling for them. And I'm just feeling like she's got, she's a Rayette, or that's the feminine sun energy, which is, you know, she's the center of the universe, and that's what she needs, a man who puts her center in front, and anything less than that is just not going to work for her. But I do see someone who has a lot of leadership abilities, and that's what her vulva calls for, is for, and the kind of man is someone who's going to put her at the center of his universe, and that's just it. And, you know, anybody that's not anywhere near that or not even close to it just needs to just keep moving, because that's nothing going to happen for her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She's but an educator or a politician is what I'm seeing with her. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she had a problem with sound, so I had to type everything
okay.
in the chat room.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I could, wow.
Mm-hmm.
She's agreeing with what she's reading. Well,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We will definitely have to have you come back on. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank
you. And I will definitely get in contact with you after the show so I can get started with my vulva chart.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, your email address and your website or blog spot
mm-hmm.
so everyone can get in contact with you.
Okay. It is www.shaktifire, S-H-A-K-T-I-F-I-R-E, .blogspot.com. And I also, you can use the bluestar131@hotmail.com, and I'll get all of the emails that way. And thank you, Mother Will, for what you just offered. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who was in the chat room, everyone who came to listen today. Make sure you mark the show a favorite, and so you can get reminders when our show is coming on. And also visit us on our website, which is blackwomaniverse.webs.com. And for the women who are looking for sacred sisterhood circles and things of that nature, you can hit us up on our social networking site as well, which is blackwomanshealth.ning.com. And when you look at our website, make sure you go under the links, because every sister that has come on to the radio show, their links and their websites are on that website, so you can keep in contact with the different guests and sisters that we have on the radio show. So, Sister Laia, thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you. And I'm going to call you right now so that we can set up your chart situation.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all to all the goddesses out in the audience, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Her beauty is classical. The presence of her being inspires soldiers who would fight for the cause of a people who are darker than blue. For her contribution, we have sworn a solemn oath to protect her today's and her inevitable tomorrows. She is the muse of men who would embrace the requirements of a peculiar and definitive African history. She is the feminine personification of all that is the best of Africa. Her aroma is that of an ancient freshness. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. She is the original footprint from the foothills of the mountains of the moon. The vibration of her voice reveals the struggle of a people who have not yet been vindicated. The waters of her thoughts are a blessing to a man who has only known the desert of unfulfilled redemption. Victory is mine, but when? She answers, when I am restored to my throne. She answers, when I am restored to my throne. Her answer revealed to me that she is a monarch in exile, a queen mother who wants her village back, a queen mother who needs her village back. She is mama, she is sister,
and she is daughter Africa, all wrapped up into one. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. Her strength comes from a prophetic lineage. The prophecy is that we must fight. We must fight so that we may be reborn into new men and women, so that we may become the oldest African by becoming the newest African. For our purposes, she has redefined the phrase, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Yes, she is the chief priestess of a new religion called Sankofa. Her powers are legendary. The spirits have passed an eternal torch to her. I have seen her luminescence. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. Thank you.